answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Breaking news, and this is big. So if you're at home or if you're streaming right now, listen to this. The president just put this on Truth Social. Here's what he says. Iran has just announced that the Strait of Iran, which I'm assuming he means Hormuz, is fully open and ready for full passage. Reuters has confirmed that as well. They're reporting as well, saying that Iran's foreign minister said this passage for all commercial vessels through the Strait of Hormuz declared completely open. But listen to this part, for the remaining period of the ceasefire, and it's in line with the ceasefire that's in place with Israel and with Lebanon. So again, breaking news, the Strait of Hormuz completely reopened right now. It seems, Colonel McConkie, that the ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon, essentially Hezbollah, that has catapulted this decision by Iran to allow now these vessels, which have been heavily impacting fuel costs, to be completely open.
And as a result of that news earlier today, worldwide oil prices dropped, stock prices went up. Could they go the other direction? Sure they could. You can't trade on the day-to-day news. Used to be a saying that you maybe buy or sell on the rumors. And then again, when it comes to the sizzle and the actual fact, then you make another decision. But it's good for now. And there's where we stand going into the weekend. And yes, there's no doubt that one thing Iran was wanting, they wanted Israel to stop firing into Lebanon. And Lebanon wanted to stop as well. Israel was not going after Lebanon. It was going after the Hezbollah terrorists operating in southern Lebanon because they were using missiles and rockets firing into parts of Israel. 6,000 missiles over about 6 weeks. 6,000. And they did not care who they hit. They were not targeting military installations. They were targeting civilians and knew they were. So, yes, that was going to have to come to an end. What do the Israelis think of this, though? Are they being put up as a sacrificial pawn to having a stop and a ceasefire that was announced between Lebanon and Israel? And we'll come back to that later as we move through this hour. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. We're here for you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8. And when we're on the air, like right now, you can watch the program. I encourage you to do so. How do you do that? Well, you go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And everything we do later goes up as a podcast for you in case you miss it. Audio and video available again at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook. You can find us on all podcast streams and options. We would like you to use us, but you make the decision. We're just glad to have you on board. And then I do ask one more thing from you, just one. After you watch or listen to a podcast, send it on to one of your friends, family members. Say, listen, you need to pay more attention to this program. It's not because Larry Connors is so great, but because we hit on so many issues. Rapid fire. We change gears often. And with Larry Connors USA, you are going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. And that's a key point for me, to make sure you walk away from each hour with more knowledge than what you have right now. And I've got a doozy of a piece of education for you later. It's not something I like, but I'm going to share it with you. That's still to come. And also still to come, two voices on opposite sides predicting what we need to do to save our nation. And one of them is a Supreme Court justice. And the other is former Democrat operative strategist who got Bill Clinton from the Arkansas governor's position to the White House, James Carville. James Carville, the Cajun I always like to mock. And what he has to say as to what Democrats need to do the next time they get into power. You don't want to miss that. That's still to come. But there were those who were saying that when Trump was starting to threaten Iran, and then, of course, putting the blockade in position, they were saying, oh, he's just a bluff. It's not, he's not going to really do anything. He can't do anything. Well, Iran obviously has recognized, yeah, he can. And White House spokesman Stephen Miller echoes.
President Trump is a man who doesn't bluff. He is a man who follows through on what he says, who acts in every case with courage, resilience, determination, vision, focus, and direction. He warned Maduro. Maduro did not heed those warnings. And now look what happened. Look at the operation that took place in Venezuela. He warned before Midnight Hammer. Midnight Hammer happened because the Iranians did not heed those warnings. Before Operation Epic Fury, he gave Iran a chance to do the right thing. They declined, and they sustained the greatest battlefield defeat, thrashing, military annihilation we've seen in modern history.
That's true. It's all true. And the key point was, again, Trump does not bluff. Does he embellish a little bit? Does he get a little blusterous and over the top? Yes, yes. There are some poker players I know are bluffing when I'm playing against them. At least I'm pretty sure they are. I always tell them, I don't bluff. I misread my cards sometimes, so if I had to expose them, I thought I had pocket aces and I have a 2-3 or what is known in poker parlance, a dirty diaper. A 3-year-old with a deuce in the diapers. That's what that is. But there are those that are really just like Trump at the table. They're boisterous. They're just mocking everybody to the extent that they're allowed to do it. But Miller said, and we know, Trump does not bluff. And then another part, the one thing that we all knew and we agree with, Stephen Miller on what Trump said can never happen.
A nuclear-armed Iran, an Iran with medium-range or long-range ballistic missiles tipped with nuclear warheads, is a direct threat to every capital in Europe. We are doing this not only in defense of America, but in defense of the free world. And NATO doesn't want to help. NATO doesn't want to assist. The same NATO that the United States has been subsidizing with our taxpayer dollars for generations, the entire European welfare state was built off the backs of American military might. We invested in our military while they invested in their welfare state and their long weekends and their long holidays, all paid for by us, by our soldiers, by our Marines, by our airmen, our sailors. And President Trump has said the free ride is over.
The free ride is over. Now, I'd asked you earlier and pointed out to you that Israel is also part of this deal, the Strait of Hormuz, because Iran wanted to see a peace deal between Israel and Lebanon. So did Trump. And it happened. And now the straits are open. But are the Israelis happy about the way it developed?
Israel awoke to a different reality this morning, and it's not one that Israelis are necessarily comfortable with. There was an imposed ceasefire by the president on Prime Minister Netanyahu in southern Lebanon, where southern Lebanon is the scene of intense fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. Hezbollah is basically a proxy of Iran and has been shelling northern communities. About 6,000 rockets fired at the Galilee over the last 6 weeks, and all that population has been under fire. You'd think that population would want a ceasefire, but no, they don't want a ceasefire. They'd like to see Hezbollah beaten finally. because every couple of years they have to face that same type of barrages over and over and over again. They want it finished. But the president has said that he's also willing to invite the prime minister of Israel and the president of Lebanon, President Aoun, to Washington this week for peace talks. Now, that is certainly a welcomed event. Should it happen this week, Israelis will certainly support that. But the question is, even if Israel and Lebanon make peace, will Lebanon be able to impose a ceasefire on Hezbollah? Will it be able to dismantle Hezbollah's arms, to disarm Hezbollah? The Lebanese army is not strong enough to take on Hezbollah. So it's going to be a big question that Israelis are going to be asking the president and our own leaders as these talks go forward.
Now, another thing that's happened with this, Trump has already fired back at NATO. NATO, suddenly, some of the NATO allies are saying, do you need any help now? And he's basically telling them, go to hell. Where were you when we wanted you to do something? Stephen Miller points out something that's very clear. Trump's and his action has actually reset global order.
After the ceasefire, President Trump said, make a deal. The Iranian terms were not satisfactory, and so President Trump flipped the tables on Iran and implemented this naval blockade. And with this blockade, President Trump is resetting the entire global order, because he is saying with our Navy, we can decide, and we alone can decide how rogue regimes are able to finance themselves, how they are able to operate. That's the power of American naval might.
Yes. And I do need to correct something. I went a little bit overboard myself when I said when NATO nations were approaching Trump, what can we do to help now? And I said that Trump said, go to hell. He did not say that. But he did say, stay away. We don't want you. You weren't here when we needed you. So I kind of embellished the remark. If I offended you, I apologize. But I stand by it. Still the same result. Coming up, two voices from opposite sides regarding the future of America. One, a voice I like to mock, James Carville, the Cajun, and what he says Democrats need to do the next time they do get in power. You want to make sure you hear it. And also a warning from Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas on how to protect our nation.
But in my view, we must find in ourselves that same level of courage that the signers of the Declaration had, so that we can do for our future what they did for theirs. Each of you will have opportunities to be courageous every day, whether your calling in life is as a day laborer, a stay-at-home mom, a small business owner, an educator, an office worker, a judge, or some other endeavor. It may mean speaking up in class tomorrow when someone around you expects you to live by lies. It may mean confronting today's fashionable bigotries, such as anti-Semitism. It may mean standing up for your religion when it is mocked and disparaged by a professor. It may mean not budging on your principles when it will entail losing friends or being ostracized. It may mean running for your school board when you see that they are teaching your children to hate your values and our country. It may mean turning down a job offer that requires you to make moral or ethical compromises. One thing I do know to be true. It will mean waking up every day with the resolve to withstand unfair criticism and attacks. These are the choices that we will confront, that will confront you, and you must decide whether to respond with timidity or with courage, as the signers of the Declaration did. It will, of course, not be easy. It never is.
Never is. The words of Justice Thomas from the Supreme Court. And what we need to do to protect our nation. Speak up, do what you need to do when you need to do it. Clarence Thomas, 77 years old. There's talk that he might be retiring, but I don't think he's going to. I think he wants to set the record for the longest serving Supreme Court justice. Do you know who that is? While you're thinking about it, who would Trump put in his place? Samuel Alito is also considering, not considering, but at his age, some say that maybe he will be the next to step down. But again, he's not showing any indication he's going to. They are both are brilliant minds, and we need them there. But then if they put someone in, and look for it to happen, one of the two, if not maybe both, to make a decision while Trump is in office. If you recall how Obama tried to get Ruth Bader Ginsburg to resign early so he could appoint her replacement, and she did not. She wanted to fight back. I don't want to go. I'm not interested in going. And she was hoping, basically believing, that Hillary Clinton would win the election. Hillary did not win. That's when Trump won. So Trump started making appointments to the Supreme Court. Appointments to the Supreme Court, of course, are very important. And this is why James Carville is saying, Democrats, here's what you need to do next time you get in power.
If the Democrats win the presidency in both houses of Congress, I think on day one, they should make Puerto Rico, D.C. a state, and they should expand the Supreme Court to 13. Uh-huh. Yep. Eat our dust. They've done everything they could. That they held up the 2000 election. They stole it. They've stolen Supreme Court seats. They've gerrymandered everything that you can. And the only way to fight this is don't run on it. Don't talk about it. Just do it.
Just do it. Just do it. Pack the Supreme Court in addition to making Puerto Rico a state and D.C. By the way, the longest serving Supreme Court justice, Justice William O. Douglas, served 36 years, 209 days. Coming up, a report from a whistleblower about illegals and something that they're going to be doing in San Francisco for the homeless. Oh, it's going to upset you. I'll tell you that right now. And, of course, we have a lot of illegals getting driver's licenses to handle these 18-wheel trucks on the road driving next to you and your family. That's also part of the story still to come. So you don't want to go anywhere. We've got a lot left still in this hour. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund Heit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MeguiarMoving.com. John Beall Roofing remind you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beall to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beall has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beall. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
But we've seen these crashes across the country where we have commercial drivers, truck drivers that are unskilled to be on American roads, and they're endangering American families, whether they go to Walmart or they go to church. And so we have taken a hard look at this. In New York alone, they have issued 32,000 licenses to foreigners. 53%, as you mentioned, of those licenses were illegally issued. And so that's dangerous for the American traveler. And these people don't just stay, these drivers don't just stay in New York, they travel across the country. And so the response from Kathy Hochul in New York was, listen, we didn't do anything wrong, we followed the rules. But the truth is, they actually gave commercial driver's licenses to people who are in the country illegally. They'd give an 8-year license to someone who might only be legally in the country for another 3 or 4 months.
Boy, did he nail it. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy talking about all the illegal drivers on our highways. Oh, yeah, they've got a license, but they came into the country illegally. They're here illegally, and yet these blue states are giving them driver's licenses, even if they can't read and understand English in many cases, even if they can't read and understand road signs. I cannot emphasize to you enough how dangerous the highways are now with these drivers out there. That is not to take that every transport that passes you or you pass is driven by an illegal and that you need to be frightened of them. Well, you certainly need to be aware of an awake driver, obviously. And there are a lot of truckers on the road that have earned their reputation and their stripes by long, hard discipline and work. And they don't like all this happening either. Some of them are losing jobs that they could have. Because, again, these drivers are going to work for cheaper. And they don't like it because of the very real possibility. I correct that. The very real fact that many on the road are too dangerous to be driving one of these big rigs. I fear, I pray not, but I do fear that we might well see a tragedy down the road, literally, and no pun intended, where one of these illegal drivers causes a mass tragedy. We've already seen some in Florida where a illegal truck driver who got his license in the blue state of California was driving in Florida. Now, I do not know if he drove his transport all the way from California to Florida, or if he later went to Florida and he had a license already, a commercial driver's license out of California, and it was just accepted. I don't know, or that he had picked up a truck from somewhere else and drove into Florida. But then he decided to do a U-turn on an interstate in one of those areas where you'll see crossovers clearly marked emergency vehicles only. And now you're trying to put a full tractor trailer rig across one of those, blocking lanes you're leaving and blocking lanes you're entering, and it ended in a deadly crash killing several. A family wiped out. The U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director Todd Lyons yesterday submitted his letter of resignation to the Department of Homeland Security. Now, he had just testified to the House Appropriation Subcommittee regarding the ICE budget, where he announced the bust of Chinese illegal aliens allegedly involved in the largest gift card fraud scheme in history. In history. Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen said of the resignation, Lyons is a great leader. He's helped remove murderers, rapists, pedophiles, terrorists, and gang members. Border Czar Tom Holman called Lyons a selfless servant. The White House Deputy Chief of Staff Miller adding, Todd is a phenomenal patriot, dedicated leader to protect our nation. So he's not being forced out. He's resigning on his own. Why? Why? Citing family issues. And I do believe in family first. I don't know what the family issues are, but he felt his family had to come ahead of doing more to help our nation. I wish him and his family well going forward. But he has set a standard. And as I said, announcing the bust of Chinese illegals involved in the largest gift fraud scheme in history, the credit card gift fraud. Well, my boots on the ground, Andrew is always posting me on things that I might overlook. And this one he sent me, and it's worth repeating for you, written by Christopher Rufo, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, contributing editor of City Journal, which is where Andrew found it. And it begins like this. Last month, we received a report from a whistleblower who claimed that illegal aliens were staying in San Francisco homeless shelters. No big surprise there, right? And he writes, following up on the tip, we visited numerous publicly funded shelters in San Francisco, spoke to the employees and the residents about their policies, sometimes needing a translator. And we discovered not only were the shelters housing illegal immigrants, but they were also apparently housing a population of male-to-female transgender illegals who had hoped to obtain gender-affirming care. And then he adds, to our shock, state and local governments apparently are providing it. Yes. St. Vincent de Paul's MSC South facility in San Francisco's largest homeless shelter signed in 2024 a $66 million service contract with San Fran. And some of those there have come in because they were told, if you can come here, we will make sure you can get transgender surgery at no charge. They spoke to a man who was wearing long hair, I'm not making that a complaint, and red lipstick, so be it if you want. And he was candid about the arrangement. He confirmed, I'm an illegal immigrant. We don't ask questions about status. And if they want to have transgender procedures or gender-affirming care, we're getting it. He said, I'm getting cross-sex hormone therapy. Another, described as a muscular man in camouflage, dyed hair, said, I'd been in the U.S. after claiming asylum. And he said the city government offered to pay first and second month's rent on private apartments for him and the one I was talking about a moment ago. But they didn't accept the offer. And that was because the other guy thought, I might not be able to pay for the apartment after the second month. Knowing already, I can live there for 2 months, but we'll have to move again, so don't want to. But then there was someone called Jacqueline, a self-identified trans woman from Mexico, indicating, yes, there are others just like me in the shelter. Jacqueline wearing, as it's written here, wearing rouge and a low-cut red skirt on his body, flaunted his large chest, said he had just gotten transgender hormone treatments and a breast implant from the state Medi-Cal program. Medi-Cal paying for transsexual surgery for illegals and legals. He said, you can get this even though you're undocumented. You can get them. And then they asked Jacqueline, are you going to have bottom surgery? That would involve castrating a male and doing more, you can imagine. And the one they were interviewing said, yes, I'm waiting for that. But there are others here ahead of me that might get it done before, all at taxpayer expense in California. And some of it involving, obviously, federal dollars, not just San Francisco taxpayers and California taxpayers. This is where your money has been going, and you want to know what's happening to it? And as you heard James Carville state earlier, what the Democrats need to do when they get back into charge is change everything. Pack the court, make D.C. and Puerto Rico states, take back control, gerrymander everything, and that would include repushing the woke issue. Although Carville had said before, we can't continue to stand on that hill, it's hurting us. But if that's where the woke crowd wants to live, and you want their votes, which they do, that's where you have to go find them. You know, yesterday Trump made a trip to Vegas. He put all of his fortune on 17 on roulette, and it came up. No, I made that up. But I will tell you what he did do in Vegas.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We can never forget that every single radical left Democrat in Congress voted to deny the American people these life-saving changes. They voted for tax increases. They wanted your taxes to go up. I've never seen it before. You know, all my life, I've been sort of always interested in politics. Never did it before. I decided to do it a little while ago, not too long. But I've never seen it before. It always was, I'd watch politicians for 30 years, 40 years. We will lower your taxes. We will lower your taxes. These are the only people, the Democrats now, the modern day Democrats. We will raise your taxes. And I just don't think it's winnable. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little old fashioned, I guess.
No, I think you're right on the point, President Trump. He was making those remarks in Las Vegas where he went to celebrate one piece of the big, beautiful bill, and that is no tax on tips. And it was meant to help, in particular, those in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is in the slumps right now. They really are. Before I get too much into detail on that, I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen before I wrap up this hour. Are you listening? Are you listening? Oh, here it comes. Before the hour is over, I'm going to say that, God, it's hard to do. I share some views with Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, my God, I did it. And now I've committed to it as a tease, so I'll have to do it before I wrap up the program. All right, let's put it aside. Let's go back to the issues with Las Vegas for right now. They are in a slump. Low-volume tourism started back in early 2026, and all the numbers have been softening. The economy is diversifying in North Las Vegas into manufacturing logistics. They certainly need to, because gambling is not going to keep them going forever. But why is this happening? There still is some high-end gambling that's booming. But the normal visitor volume is down. And yes, most people go to Vegas, end up in a casino, at least walking through it or staying at the casino location, eating and dining, even if they don't gamble or only play just a few cents on the slots. But they're keeping the lights on, but at the same time, it's getting tougher. High prices for hotel rooms, food, parking, driving away tourists. Now, you'll see an offer. You could have a room for $45 a night at the Wynn Hotel. Oh, but there's also a service charge, a additional tax of $300. Now, I'm way out of line on the numbers. But the bottom line is you're not getting that room without paying what they want to add on, and often it's considered part of the package to make sure you have a great experience. Well, if it includes going to the swimming pool, maybe I don't want to go. Why am I going to pay the added amount of money? All right, would you use the Wi-Fi? Yeah, then you're going to pay for that. So they're going to find ways to do it. The biotech industry in Nevada has grown 22% since 2018. That's about 9,000 jobs, but that's good. But all these other costs are driving away the main drive for Las Vegas. One predict, not a prediction, but a statement as to why this is happening. Statistician Nate Silver has some theories as to why Las Vegas is in a slump. And he said the math doesn't look good. Well, that we know. And everybody does have a theory about what's wrong with Vegas. And there is a nickel and diming of visitors for $9 for a bottle of water. And there's a feeling that Vegas wants a Becca for cheap entertainment, now caters only to the rich, 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 rich. Tickets in the 5-7-figure numbers. Nate Silver's theories about Las Vegas, he posted last December on his Substack blog. Silver is a sports gambler as well, and a poker player. And he says part of the reason gaming revenue and visitor numbers are down. Well, I did not have to be a statistician to know that. But he does point out 37% of all economic output in the state of Nevada comes from gaming. 37%. And most of the gaming over the last 3 years are in the red. The red means not so good. Slot revenue is down 2%. That's pretty big for slots. Blackjack down 16%, craps down 8%, roulette down 13%, poker down 10%, in-person sports betting down almost 32%, and all the other taxes that get added on to the consumers when they do come to town. Jim Garrity wrote a piece for National Review saying, you're never going to have enough money, not just to go to Vegas, but for the federal government. He wrote this pointing out, we just finished paying your federal taxes, or at least they were due. He said, each month the U.S. government takes in $413 billion each month in income taxes, corporate taxes, Social Security, estate, gift taxes, tariffs, customs duties, and other sources. He said, depending on how you look at it and calculate it, the government either broke even, made money, or spent just 12% of the cost for the Persian Gulf War in 91. He said, but basically, we take in $413 billion a month. Isn't that enough to live on in our nation, for our nation to live on? I'd say yes, but we spend $583 billion per month. And Garrity points out that a lot of it has to do with, no doubt about it, government inefficiency. He said, so far the government has collected $2.48 trillion. Trillion in this fiscal year of 2026. 2.48 trillion. That's a lot, right? Right. And it is up from what they collected in the same period last year. 2.26 trillion. Basically a 10% increase. But again, all of this leaves us on the downside. He said, if the U.S. government revenue by itself were considered a gross domestic product, it'd be the third largest in the world. He said, with record tax revenues, you might think we would have a manageable deficit this year. You would be wrong. He added, the U.S. government does not have a manageable deficit. We have a problem with out-of-control spending. We say that every time, don't we? And, of course, the favorite punching bag for the left is, well, hit the Department of Defense, or Department of War, as we like to call it now. But that's just 13% of the total federal spending. 13%. He said, if you look at it overall, and our defense spending, and how other nations are doing, our NATO allies did agree to increase their defense and defense-related spending to 5% of each country's domestic growth. Because when Trump said, you either raise what you're paying or we'll start taking away what we're paying, they are in the process of raising, and we are still taking some back. I like it. But he points out that Trump's budget proposal for next year does include a gargantuan increase in defense spending, $1.5 trillion, fiscal year 2027, a 40% year-over-year increase. Well, of course, we've been involved in a war again. We're going to have to replace all the missiles we fire. But still, the defense spending, based on what we have been doing, as I said, amounts to only 13% of our total budget. So if it goes to 15 or 16%, if we have war in the Middle East, then we can begin to redirect money. But again, in this article in the National Review by Jim Garrity, he points out, the deficit keeps rising despite record tax revenues because we have an unintended bipartisan agreement to refuse to do anything significant to control the cost of Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. Now, he's not saying it, but I'll tell you right now, those are the rails, the third rail you do not touch. You could be electrocuted. That's what he's pointing out. In the end, when you look over everything, Garrity says, it's just our luck. Our country and the stars have aligned to provide us an internet, global communication everywhere, also hostile foreign states, several of them, no shortage of Americans who want to fool fellow citizens into believing false information, AI that's going to create increasingly realistic looking and sounding fake video. And he added, are we absolutely sure the New York Post headline, quote, RFK Jr. once chopped off a dead raccoon's penis to study later, was on a family road trip? Was that something as a Mad Lib or something made up entirely? What was it? Well, we do know that RFK Jr. is proclaiming something that we're seeing happen with our nation, which is good. RFK Jr.
So President Trump has made this a priority, and we have, in addition to the $325 billion that we're putting into it, President Trump is putting billions in from the tariffs, and we have secured agreements during the MFN negotiations with these companies to build billions and billions of dollars of plants right here in the United States.
And he has done that. RFK Jr. talking about we're going to see more products manufactured in our nation. And yes, Trump in his first term got a lot of the companies that had offshored much of their operation, brought a lot of it back, and more continue. And more foreign nations are investing in our nation. And we're trying to make things work better. Yes, the tariffs in effect, but we still look for ways to help them out at the same time. When I hear folks say that Trump is a nationalist, I get upset. There's a difference between a nationalist and an isolationist. An isolationist doesn't want to have anything to do with any other country. A nationalist, you're for your country first, as you should be. But you do want to have relationships with other countries. But you're not going to bend over for them, as we have in the past. Oh, I'm sorry to tell you, that reminds me of a story I saw out of France. An Afghan migrant arrested in France. Local farmers repeatedly found livestock, legs bound and suffering. Well, you get the idea. All right, I had mentioned I've been delaying. Here I go. I admitted that I agree with Rosie O'Donnell on something. Rosie O'Donnell in a TikTok video said, can we talk a little bit about Eric Swalwell? He said, I've spoke to him on the phone a few times, donated money to him. I believed in him and his cute little family and two kids. And then all this comes out to him about him, and it's heartbreaking to me. And I wrote him. I wrote him a little message, and I said, you know, Bill Clinton broke my heart, and now you did too. She doesn't like Swalwell. And Clinton broke her heart because of what he did. She said, I'm so angry at him. Of course, she's angry at Trump as well. She left the U.S., moved to Ireland, right before Trump was inaugurated January 2025. But she still wants to come back here, and still does from time to time. I think it's safe to say she will not be visiting Eric Swalwell or contributing money to him in the future. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.